Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, November 16th. Today, we're going to be chatting with our good friend, Frank Burke. Frank, of course, a great friend of our show, as well as an author, a businessman. And recently, Frank wrote a book about the media in high-profile cases. And I thought it would be interesting to get Frank's perspectives on what's happening down in Alabama, where you have a newspaper breaking a story, the Washington Post, breaking a story of apparently or allegedly inappropriate touching between a man and a teenager back in 1979. I want to make it very clear before I go any further that I do not, under any circumstances, support that kind of behavior. I think that's totally unacceptable to touch a woman inappropriately. However, I don't care how old she is. It's simply, I think, something that a man does not do. But nevertheless, it did happen 38 years ago. There's no evidence. It's he said, she said. And I'm uncomfortable dropping a story in the middle of a political campaign with 3 or 4 weeks to go, where you're putting the Republican Party in a situation where they couldn't even replace this guy if they wanted to. So I'm just uncomfortable with the ethics of that journalism. I'm not defending what Judge Moore did. I want to make that clear. Or whatever allegedly he did. We don't know if he really did or didn't. But I'm just uncomfortable with the whole idea of a newspaper doing that. We're also going to touch a little bit on a couple of other developing stories. One is what appears to be the reckoning of Bill Clinton. A lot of Democrats asking themselves a question, a lot of liberals in particular, asking themselves a question, what happened? Why did we allow Bill Clinton to get away with what he did many years ago? And then, of course, there's a breaking story as well, a story here in the last few hours about Senator Al Franken, who is Frank Burke's favorite comedian. Isn't that right, Frank? he made you laugh a great deal, didn't he, Frank?
Well, he's making me laugh now. Let's put that, or at least smile.
Yes. Yes. You said the last time that this is not even his real name, which I didn't know until you mentioned it the last time.
Right. His name is Stuart Smalley, and Al Franken was a stage name. And I think it's kind of weird that you would use a stage name in the United States Senate.
Well, I don't know of any other person who did that in American history. I can't think of, you know. I mean, if Clark Kent had been in the U.S. Senate, would he have called himself Superman or Clark Kent? I don't know.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, the other guy who has a different name is de Blasio. I don't know what the other name is offhand, but the mayor of New York, that's not his real name.
Well, I didn't know that either. I didn't realize that either. These Democrats are strange, aren't they?
But they really are. They're like the Hollywood compatriots.
Yeah,
but Judy Garland's name was Frances Gum.
Well, but at least she never ran for the U.S. Senate. We'll give
That's
her,
true.
We'll let her keep her stage name. But the situation with Franken, though, before we get to the story of Moore, the situation with Franken is, I think, on one hand, of course, you wonder how many times Senator Franken, or whatever his real name is, said that the Republicans were waging a war on women, or I wonder how many times he talked about that tape that came out last year between President Trump, or what then at the time, not President Trump, but just Donald Trump, a citizen, and that tape that he had with women. And so there's a lot of hypocrisy here, of course. You begin to wonder, are some women going to call for his resignation now? I mean, are some women in the Democrat Party going to call for his resignation now? And I bring that up, Frank, because there have been articles recently from feminist liberals who are saying, you know what, maybe we gave Bill Clinton a pass 20 years or so ago. Maybe it's time to to have a reckoning. So it's all happening at a bad time for Mr. Frank.
Oh, it truly is. It truly is. And, you know, that aside, and let's face it, I've never liked Al Franken and Schadenfreude when you're happy about someone else's misfortune. But that's one thing. But I will say this. I will look at the situation overall and say that what has been created here is a very, very dangerous thing. Because if you remember in the 1980s, there was a very big scandal about child abuse in daycare centers. And all of a sudden, these awful stories were coming to light about children who were stripped naked and tied to trees outside the daycare center and tortured with knives and all this stuff. And these kids were saying this at the behest of therapists, so-called therapists, who were encouraging them. They were pleasing them by saying this. Well, a lot of innocent people were hurt badly. They lost their businesses. They lost their money, their savings. They lost years of their lives. And finally, it was unmasked as well. Gee, you know, we were wrong. Kids will say anything to please the adult, and this stuff never happened. Not that it never happened or never happens in certain instances, but this went totally over the top. And now I think we're in a similar situation where, my heart is with any woman who was treated badly by anyone. But the bottom line is that I think for some people, they would see this and say, this is the opportunity I needed to get back at that boss I hated. This is the opportunity to get back at that ex-boyfriend or whatever. And under these circumstances, when you hear people say, we have to believe the women say is true. No, we have to be very careful because we are in something that's approaching hysteria. And if I might add one more thing to that, it's the fact that, you know, just before this happened, or as it's happening, we have been reading about, for instance, brought to the fore by the mainstream media, Bill O'Reilly's situation, Roger Ailes' situation at Fox News, and the tremendous financial settlements that were made. Well, is it unthinkable that someone wouldn't say, wow, this might be the way to make a couple of dollars? I don't know. But
I think the honest thing to say about it is that women lie too, you know. Women are will take advantage of an opportunity. Now, I tend to, you know, I guess naturally, maybe it's just because of who I am, I tend to give the woman the benefit of the doubt in a situation like this. But in the case of Franken, I mean, Franken, this wasn't that long ago. This was 2006. So we're not talking here about 38 years. And there's a picture in Drudge, which I don't know how accurate that picture is or whether that's the young woman we're talking about. But there's a picture in Drudge that if there was a picture like that of any Republican, it would be the end of the Republican. And that kind of brings me to the problem that I had with the Washington Post running this story. Now, you wrote that book about the media and high-profile cases. In this particular case, there is no case because there's no legal case against Judge Moore. This is a political case, if anything else. But this is the part that troubles me about the Washington Post, because when you basically say anything that a woman – or when you're willing to publish a story going back 38 years and saying, well, we believe she's telling the truth. Well, okay. You know, if you want to write a book about it, that's fine. If you want to make a movie about it, I guess you can. But to drop this 3 weeks before a political election, that's what I have trouble with. I really wonder about the ethics of doing something like that, the fairness. The Judge Moore, who, by the way, I just want to make that clear, I wouldn't have voted for him. I would have preferred the other guy. But it's not about you know, Moore or Strange or whoever the other guy was. It, to me, it's a question of the ethics of the media. How far back do you go? And would it have been better had the editor of the Washington Post said, you know what, that's a nice little story. Maybe you guys can write a book about that someday, or somebody can write a novel about it, or somebody can make a movie about it. But we're not going to dump that in the middle of a campaign. It's giving the media, Frank, and I guess that's the long-winded way of saying what I'm about to say. It's giving the media a weapon that can be used in a partisan fashion. And the question, if I was talking to the Washington Post editor, the question I would ask him is, would you have done this to Barack Obama? Would you have dropped a huge story about Barack Obama 3 weeks before the election? My gut feeling tells me no, Frank.
No, I would agree with you. And the thing that bothers me about it, and very close to what you're saying, Silvio, where were all these women during the primary? If you were worried about this guy becoming, senator, and you felt you had to speak out, why wait till now? He had to run in a very hotly contested primary. Why not bring it up at that time? So, yeah, I think it stinks that this stuff is coming out when it's coming out, and that so many people in his own party are jumping on the bandwagon to, dissociate themselves from him without, what's the law? It's, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And nobody has come up with any proof. So that's the problem.
You're right. And what we have is, again, an allegation, a memory from 1979. Now, I've heard some women, because I wrote an article about this a couple of days ago, and some ladies commented in the comments section that a woman is afraid of coming out and talking about this, which is a completely legitimate point. Okay, I think that's true.
Sure.
I think a woman would be embarrassed, so I'll cut him a little slack on that. But Judge Moore, Roy Moore, has been in politics in Alabama, not just in politics. This guy has been one of the most controversial people in that state for 20 years. He has made enemies. It's hard to think of a person in the country who's made more enemies than this guy. And
right.
How is it possible that we just find out 3 weeks before the election I would have expected this stuff to come out 10 or 15. Remember, I think he was kicked out of the, if I remember the story correctly, he was kicked out of the Alabama Supreme Court, I think.
Yes.
If I remember correctly. So this is a guy who's made a lot of enemies over the years, and you're exactly right. He was in a very contested primary. Now, maybe the other side didn't want to bring it up, but I don't think this came from the other. I mean, this stuff about the stuff from 1979, as I understand the story, this was a Washington Post reporter who heard somebody say something about it, who heard it from somebody else, and that was kind of the opening to look for these women. It just bothers me, Frank. It just bothers me that we're doing this, because where does it stop? I mean, I guess to some extent, Franken is a victim of this. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, this stuff about Franken probably wouldn't have come out if the stuff about Moore hadn't come out, Frank.
Right. No, I would agree with you. And I think, would the stuff about Moore have come out if it hadn't been for all the notoriety about Harvey Weinstein and all these people coming out? And it is now the end thing to do is to come out. And, there are a lot of people who are, and I'm not saying this about women who have been legitimately attacked or whatever, but there are a lot of people who crave attention. And if you can get it to the politically or socially, if they can find a way of making themselves look the victim or whatever, they'll do it. They'll do it. And this is the opportunity for a lot of people to do that. And, or things can be, let's put it this way. There's an excellent article today about Joe Biden and all the times Joe has acted creepy with women, and women have mentioned it. And here now he's peddling this book, I hate to say it, on the back of his deceased son, trying to get himself into the race in 2020. And if anybody, Joe Biden is certainly unfit based on incidents with women or whatever.
Right. But, well, the problem with Biden is that every girl that he's touched is on video, because
yeah.
he always did it at the weirdest times. I mean, when her husband was being presented as the new Secretary of Education or the new Secretary of Commerce, there's good old Joe, you know, touching the wife. Now, between you and me, I don't think that he meant anything bad by it. I think he's just
right.
one of these people. I mean, I don't think but I mean, again, we're talking about the standards that have now been set, that any touching of a woman against her wishes, and I have to believe that these ladies who were there were put in an awfully uncomfortable situation. I mean, your husband on one side is being sworn in as the
mm-hmm.
Secretary of Commerce, and you're sitting there being touched by, what are you going to do, scream, tell him, you know, get
right.
off my body or something? I mean, it's a very difficult situation, but I just, you know, I just think the ethics of all of this is so bad. But I mean, the journalistic ethics of all of this is so bad, because if we're going to go back to 1979, then my goodness, what else is out there? I mean, there have got to be public figures right now who are scared to death because of something that they may have done in 1980. Maybe somebody had his secretary sit on his lap and he was
right.
touching her neck, and the next thing you know, she's now on the television saying that you were touching her inappropriately. So
well,
I don't know.
And this is the other thing too, Silvio. And it's once again, when you bring up the media, it's the media setting the narrative. Now, there are a lot of instances, okay? I come from a family, and we despite the fact that the locales are far away from each other, I think you and I both come from a similar background in that in my family, it was very common to greet people with an embrace and even a kiss. And, you know, I have clients that when we get together for a meeting, we very openly, I'll embrace them, I'll give them a hug and kiss, and they'll reciprocate. Now, they're not uncomfortable with that, and it's nothing that, you know, I push myself on to people. But it's something that the wrong person could misinterpret, if you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about
right.
a passionate kiss on the mouth, you know.
We're not
doing anything like that. But I see a lot. It's funny, in recent years, it has been much more common for men to shake hands and embrace. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're gay or attracted to the guy.
No, of course not.
But,
of course not. Well, that's very common in the Latin culture, as you know.
Yeah, of course.
In the Spanish and Latin culture, and I suppose it's kind of a Mediterranean thing, I would think, because Greeks do the same thing.
Italians and the Irish,
same.
Too.
Yeah, and I know that it's very common for me to greet a friend and give him a big hug, and that's completely common. But I think what is, of course, with women, I personally have always had if it's not family, I've always had a distance, because, you know, of course, I've grown
right.
up in an era where this kind of stuff can get you in trouble. But I think what in the case of Franken and in the case of Bill Clinton, but in the case of Franken in particular, I think I think the reason a lot of us are not necessarily cheering for his troubles, but, you know, we're not exactly angry that he got caught, is because of the hypocrisy, Frank, of these people. These are the people who were saying the war against women, the Republicans are running. These are the
mm-hmm.
people who were criticizing Trump for the way he treats women. Well, it turns out that, especially based on that picture on the Drudge Report today, if there was a picture like that of Donald Trump, I guarantee you it would have come out many, many years ago, Frank.
Absolutely. Well, just to give you an idea, though, let's go back to Bill Clinton, to that situation. Newsweek had that story. Newsweek had the whole story of the Lewinsky situation, and they would not run it. And then someone gave it to Matt Drudge, and the Drudge Report broke it. But if that isn't a good example of why, you know, how media bias is existing in the political realm. I don't know what is.
Right. And that's one of the problems that I have with going back 38 years, that you're basically, again, let me make it clear. If there was a dead body, if there was a pregnant girl, if there was mm-hmm. a girl who was forced to have an abortion, if he had actually had sexual relations with teenagers, which in many states is synonymous with rape, that would be a totally different issue for me, because there, you know, I don't think there's a statute of limitations for that. Well, there shouldn't be, at least morally. Maybe legally there is, but morally there wouldn't be. But the problem that I have with this kind of power is that you can have an editor of a newspaper say, well, no, I'm not going to print the Clinton story, but I am going to print the Moore story. So now you're giving the editor the power to literally destroy somebody and not the other. And that's why this kind of issue by the media, I would like to see the media have some internal control. You cannot do it, of course, because of the First Amendment. But at least some internal discipline that says, no, we're not going to go back 38 years. That's not for us to do. That's too far back. If another politician wants to bring the story into the debate, well, that's their problem. But we're not going to do it. And because it really lends itself. And I ask you the same question I asked a few minutes ago, and that is, would they have done this to President Obama? I remember back in the campaign in 2008 where there was talk of a video that existed of Barack Obama at some conference or something, where somebody was giving a very strong anti-Israel speech, and Barack Obama was in the audience, and we were never able to see how Barack Obama reacted, Frank.
Right, right. Well, you know, it came out during the campaign, kind of in the underground. An individual claimed that Barack Obama was gay and had been his lover. And there were pictures of the two of them, and you know, on a couch. And let's put it this way: they weren't sitting there as though, like you and I would sit on a couch.
They weren't watching a baseball game. You know, they
no,
were.
No, it wasn't overtly sexual, but it looked like, you know, they were fairly close to each other. And what do you do with a situation like that? The mainstream media never picked that up any more than they ever picked up all the business with the Reverend Wright and how they hid the thesis that Michelle Obama wrote that was very anti-white. In fact, even recently, I think we mentioned on the last show, she's making comments about against white men. And that's the kind of thing that the mainstream media doesn't want to do because they are so political. They want to set a narrative that anybody on the other side, anybody who's not a rabid liberal, is somehow bad.
Right. And that's the – and again, I go back to the point. You're giving the media – when you accept running a story based on an allegation 38 years ago, you're giving – the media a power that I believe can be used selectively. I remember there was a story about President Obama when he was a student at the Harvard Law Review, or when he was, the president of the Harvard Law Review. There was a story that in that law review, he had identified himself as a citizen of Kenya. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, there was a copy of the darn review. I saw it on the internet, and I saw the stories about it, and yet that, you know, I don't remember anybody investigating that, or at least asking him, well, gee, Mr. President or Mr. Obama, candidate Obama, what was the point of you listing yourself as a citizen of Kenya at the Harvard Law Review? I mean, what was your what was your objective for doing something like that? I mean, if all of a sudden, Frank, you wrote a book and you listed yourself as a citizen of France, I would have the right to ask you, hey Frank, what's that about? Weren't you born in New York City? And
exactly.
So that's the thing, that there were questions like that they would never dare ask Obama, but on the other hand, now they're going after Moore, which of course raises the whole partisan thing. One more point I wanted to make, Frank, in a few more minutes here, but I want to get your reaction to what I'm about to say right now, because you have this entire liberal enterprise. It seems like collapsing. You have Harvey Weinstein. You had others. Now you have Senator Franken, stories about him. Now you have a reckoning with Bill Clinton. And the point I'm trying to make is that this whole enterprise was corrupt from day one. And maybe there's just rotting from within. It's the corruption that it's getting these people. And we may see more. I think there's more coming, Frank.
Well, I would agree with you very much. I would say that's very true, Silvio. And, you know, I think it's the kind of thing where these people are, frankly, they started a fire and now it's consuming them as well. Now, I know that for a lot of people in the Democrat Party, on the Democrat side, especially on the, if there is such a thing as a more reasonable side, they would like to get rid of the Clintons. They know that the Clintons are a very big liability. And it's only just begun, if indeed Jeff Sessions will ever investigate the Clinton Foundation, the uranium deal, and Hillary's emails. But so they don't particularly mind. The Clintons at this point have outlived their usefulness to the party, and I could see them not minding that. But it's now going to come in and get some of the others. And let's face it, the Democratic Party has always been involved with that kind of thing. They have always been the more liberal, both socially and politically.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they come from I hate to generalize, but they often, so many of them, in the show business, of course, that is an industry well known for its inappropriate mm-hmm. touching, if I could put it that way. And
sure.
I think that, I think it's all kind of collapsing, but I just, you know, to me, it's all collapsing in front of us, and the incident with Moore, the unintended consequence of that may have been that it has now made it impossible for a media not to listen to a woman. If you're going to listen to a woman, the allegation from 1979, then how can you not listen to a woman? About an allegation from 2006 against Senator Franken. I understand that his reaction to the allegation was, well, I don't remember. Well, great.
Yeah.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, gee, we love that. We love that reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
We love that reaction. I wonder if he had, I wonder what he would have said. I mean, he was blasting, you know, he was blasting Sessions at one of these hearings because he didn't remember meeting with a Russian or something.
Right,
I mean,
right.
So. Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, Frank, I want to thank you so much for joining me on short notice. And I want to thank you so much for your input. And, of course, we have a link to your book and the show information. Your book is wonderful. And the minute I was thinking about all of this, you immediately came to mind because your book touches on many of these high-profile cases and how the media plays and often makes them even bigger, Frank.
Well, you know, could I make one more comment? And I really
yes, please.
Appreciate what you're saying.
Sure.
One of the things
sure.
that I think plays into this right now, and it's increasingly so, is the fact that the media is in very desperate straits. Newspapers are losing readership left, right, and center. Not too long ago, the Times laid off another 100 people. And, you know, you are looking at a tremendous amount of competition on the part of people and journals in the media to retain relevance, to retain readership, and literally to retain their financial basis. So when you get a situation like that, you are going to see the media embrace sensationalism. In the book, it talks about really very early on, James Gordon Bennett, Scots immigrant, had a failing little newspaper. He embraced a sensational case and sold a lot of papers, put his name on the map. And it's not unlike this whole thing, you know, with Woodward and Bernstein, and they became heroes, the Watergate thing, etc. It's since come out that they did some unethical things. But the bottom line of it, the media is desperate. And if they see this, okay, we're going to unmask everybody. We're going to sex scandal, sex sells, let's go. Then that's what they're going to embrace.
Well, I think you're right, and I think there's more coming, by the way. I think Franken is just the first one.
I agree with
there's
you.
There's more coming. there's more coming, because I think that you now have an opening for many women, as you indicated before, to come out. It has now become possible for women to come out, and I think many women may see it as their duty to come out and go after some of these men. And again, I have to confess, I don't necessarily criticize a woman for being angry. I mean, if you were in fact forced to do something, or I mean, look at the way Weinstein was treating women. I mean, that is about as despicable as it gets. So I don't blame women for coming out and wanting to get even with Weinstein. I certainly don't have a problem with that. But I think it's going to get very interesting, and I think you're exactly right. Some people in the media will play for this and try to, you know, soak it for whatever they can. I'm not so sure if selling newspaper is the objective anymore, but certainly maybe getting traffic online
Notoriety.
What they're doing. Yeah, notoriety too, because as you say, you can take a look at Drudge. Look at how Drudge became a major website because of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. I remember there was another website, a small website, in 2004 that went after CBS on the George W. Bush story, and they became huge. I can't think of their name right now, but they became a huge website as well. So these things have a way of, as you say, of making people famous. But thank you for your time, Frank. It's always so wonderful to have you on. We have a rock and roll show coming up very soon, but I wanted to talk about this because it's so current and so important. But thank you for your time.
Well, I'm honored to be on, and thanks so much. And blessings to you and the audience. If we don't talk before Thanksgiving, God bless.
Yes.
There's a lot to be thankful for.
You're exactly right. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, our good friend Frank Berg. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. A fascinating situation now with Senator Franken, and I think there's more coming. And the situation with Judge Moore, who knows what's going to happen with that. But we're in new territory, like Frank was saying. We're in new territory. We're now into territory that, I think it's going to make it all very interesting to watch. And it's not going to be pretty to watch either. So get ready for maybe covering your kids' ears when you're watching the news. I had to do that, by the way, during the Clinton scandal. Talk to you later, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.